This Hawaiian mini vacation is brought to your radio by Maui Bob's Office Cleaning. So what does professional office cleaning have to do with relaxing in a tropical paradise? Frankly, nothing. But Maui Bob and the crew want to remind you to be sure to take the time for what's important in this workaday world. Family, friends, and yes, even yourself. And if their professional office cleaning services can help you make that time, give them a call at 221-5868. This Hawaiian mini vacation was brought to your radio by Maui Bob's Office Cleaning, 221-5868.
From the Pacific Justice Institute, this is The Legal Edge.
Covenant Church of Spokane, Washington is being sued by Planned Parenthood for holding an outdoor church service monthly in a public area next to Planned Parenthood's building. And Pacific Justice Institute has filed papers to defend against this lawsuit.
Learn more about our ministry and get exclusive email updates by registering for The Legal Insider at pji.org.
It is Wednesday, August 26, 2020. I'm Guy Benson, and this is The Guy Benson Show. Thank you for tuning in. I'm your host, Guy Benson. If you don't know that much about me, if you're new to the program, I'm the political editor at townhall.com and a Fox News contributor. Our website here at the show is GuyBensonShow.com, where the podcast is always free. Coming up on the show today, Julio Rosas, my colleague at townhall.com. He's been on the ground in Kenosha, Wisconsin now the last few nights. He has been a witness and documenting what's happening, and he will be here to give us an eyewitness account from Kenosha later this hour. More on that in a moment. House Republican leader Kevin McCarthy will also join us in the next hour, much to discuss with him, with the Republican convention in full swing. Night three is this evening. Harris Faulkner, our colleague at Fox News, will also be here in the next hour. Her thoughts on the convention and some of the racial unrest that continues to roil our nation. And then Scott Walker, the former governor of Wisconsin, that state that yet again is a lightning rod in this country, a swing state. He will react to what's happening in his home state and assess the performance of his successor, the current Democratic governor who narrowly beat him in 2018. Fox News Alert. A reminder that Fox News Radio's Democracy 2020 coverage of the Republican National Convention will continue tonight live, beginning at 8 p.m. Eastern Time. You can download or access the Fox News app and click Listen Live. And that coverage will be anchored by Jared Halperin along with Josh Krasauer on the analysis. I've joined them the last few nights for some of my commentary as well. And as that's happening, another Fox News alert. Hurricane Laura is growing stronger by the hour. It is over the Gulf of Mexico and making its way toward the U.S. coast. Forecasters are warning that this powerful system could become catastrophic, with flooding and winds reaching extreme levels, and could bring a life-threatening storm surge. There are officials on the ground in Louisiana and Texas urging citizens to evacuate. You should listen very carefully to local officials and law enforcement if you live in those areas, because it could get really bad over the next day plus. And I have to say, you just have to shake your head. With everything that's happening in this country, to now have a powerful Category 4 hurricane, some people worried it could even intensify to Category 5 because of the nature of some of the water that it's passing over, it's like, what more can this nation take? It is a really dark time for this country. And now a natural disaster on top of the other disasters. I mean, it is just demoralizing. Speaking of which, Fox News alert, let's bring you the stats on the global pandemic that is still killing Americans and killing people around the world. And there are indications of a second wave starting in Europe. You may not have heard about that. Things are a little busy over here, but it's happening. Confirmed cases in the United States, 5,752,653. The death toll, 177,759 American lives lost. The Dow is roughly flat today. Look, I'm going to level with you. I often, almost every day, come on the air with all of you really excited for the show. I love this job. I love the platform. I feel honored to have this opportunity and to have all of you with me. And that's all true today. But to be candid, I was not looking forward to this show, and I'm not. Things are really, really difficult in this country right now. Typically, under even somewhat normal circumstances, my entire focus would be on the Republican National Convention. Who did well? What could they have mixed up in terms of the program? Maybe swapping a few things here or there. Was this speech too long? What were the highlights? Will there be a bounce? All that kind of stuff. And we will get into the convention. We will play some of the sound bites from last night. We'll be watching tonight, of course, as well, and bring you coverage tomorrow. But last night I lay awake in bed on Twitter looking at the situation in Wisconsin deteriorate. And I have to tell you that not only was I heartbroken, I was increasingly angry. Angry because what we were seeing last night, which culminated in two people being killed, at least three shootings, it was predictable and it was avoidable. We have seen this play out now, time and again. Not in years past, not in decades past where people may have forgotten, but just in the last few weeks and months, where local officials, yes, Democrats, in Seattle decided, let's indulge the CHOP or the CHAZ zone, the autonomous zone. Let's let Antifa do its thing for a while. And there were people with guns, and there was this warlord, and there were drug deals, and the police couldn't respond to 911 calls, and businesses got extorted or destroyed, and there's all sorts of lawsuits now. And then someone got murdered, and then someone else got murdered. And then those officials out there who had spent a lot of time preening at President Trump and saying what they weren't going to do in terms of what Trump wanted, all of a sudden they're like, oh, gosh, maybe this isn't good. And by the way, it's still bad out there. There were news reports last night that the anarchists in Seattle tried to weld an exit close with makeshift concrete to a police station and then set the police station on fire. Which, I don't know, I'm not a lawyer, but that seems like attempted murder of police to me. That's what's happening in Seattle, where their police chief resigned because the city politicians are giving no support to law enforcement. Portland is 3 months into these riots every single night. Mayor of Portland finally called it out a couple weeks ago saying, hey, it looks like you're trying to kill police officers. They tried to blame the feds and Trump, same song and dance. All the mean tweets back at Trump, back and forth. Meanwhile, there's a riot in your city every night for 3 months. And I see the governor of that state, one of these left-wing progressives, tweeted something yesterday. Oh, this needs to stop. Oh, yeah, welcome to the party, governor. I'm sure the tweet will do it. Chicago, we covered that a few weeks ago. Mass rioting and looting, people getting hurt, gunshots at police, multiple officers injured in some of these melees, all about a lie. It was an excuse based on a lie, a totally justified police shooting, was spun dishonestly, and a bunch of people drove to downtown Magnificent Mile, Chicago, and smashed it up all night long. They just need an excuse. We saw it in New York City weeks ago. We saw it in Minneapolis, the original match that set this fire, the killing of George Floyd, where the local officials and the state officials, yes, it must be said, Democrats, did nothing for days, paralyzed. And the chaos and the arson and the death ensued. And then finally they said, gosh, we better do something here. After people's lives were lost, after people had been badly hurt, after their livelihoods and businesses had been destroyed. And then here we were in Wisconsin, same exact thing happening again. We don't know what really happened with this police shooting. We have a video. It's very disturbing. I think there's probably a strong case to be made that this was an overreaction by police. Maybe it's actionable. We don't have all the context. I've seen there's a few more details that are coming out about the person who was shot, Jacob Blake. Details that are not terribly favorable to him in terms of criminal record, a warrant potentially, someone calling the police on him to this incident. Maybe the initial story about how he was just this do-gooder trying to break up a fight, shot for no reason. Maybe that's not true. We don't know. Even if those things are true, some of these less favorable details that we're apparently learning from the local press, even if those things are accurate, it doesn't necessarily justify what the police did to him. This is why we need facts and information before people go crazy. But people went crazy, and for two nights in a row, you had businesses burned to the ground. You had business owners sobbing. Business owners who were trying to put out fires with fire extinguishers hit and beaten and bloodied on the ground. This is on video. We've seen it. Some of these radical BLM agitators stood over this man's bleeding body explaining why they were the victims. So it goes out of control for two nights. And then finally people say, all right, where is law enforcement? What is happening here? The reports came out that yesterday, local law enforcement had asked for at least 750 National Guard from the state to be deployed to Kenosha. The governor gave them one-third of what they asked for. Mark Meadows, the chief of staff at the White House, says he called the governor's office and said, we will happily give you 500 more people to help. And the governor's office said no, because it's all about resistance. It seems like the number one priority for some of these, quote, leaders is to make sure that their voters know they are not cooperating with Donald Trump. And if that means your cities are burning to the ground in the meantime and people are getting murdered, well, at least we stuck it to Donald Trump, who sometimes doesn't help matters either with his incendiary tweeting. He had a tweet today that he's sending in the National Guard, you know, federal troops and agents. The governor's office is now disputing that. So you don't even know what to believe. But the people in Kenosha and that area know what's happened for two consecutive nights. Behind the scenes, the governor is saying, no, we don't need your help. We're not going to take it. I'm not going to fulfill these requests from the local police. And finally, you have some other people, citizens, with guns, say, we're going to show up and defend businesses. And gosh, what could possibly go wrong? A bunch of anarchist, Antifa-style, hardcore BLM people who are just, I'm sure a lot of these people on both sides aren't even from Kenosha. They show up like flies, like locusts, to show up and sort of engage in riot porn, basically. Because they think it's fun or give meaning to their life or they hate America, whatever their reasons are. So they show up, then you have people on the other side saying, if law enforcement is nowhere to be found in downtown areas where businesses are getting razed, looted and razed for two consecutive nights, we're going to show up with big guns. There's now been an arrest made. A 17-year-old minor was one of these people who decided he's apparently going to drive up from Illinois with his gun and join some people to protect the businesses. He's got a big rifle. I've now seen the video of at least one of the shootings that happened. There was chaos, which is what happens when there's a power vacuum for the third consecutive night. There's chaos. He's running. He's got his gun. He falls. Someone yells, get his ass, and they come racing over to jump on him. There's an image of someone beating him with a skateboard. He takes his gun. They're trying to take the gun from him. He shoots him. Now, apparently he's been arrested on suspicion of first-degree murder. I'm not an attorney. I'll say it a second time. I don't have all the information. Facts matter. But if you go out there and say this is intentional, premeditated murder, then you watch the video that I've seen. Julio Rosas, my colleague, will join us later. He was there. And then you say, that's first-degree murder. I think there are going to be a lot of people saying, hang on, law enforcement officers, you've been unable to do the job. These people show up, I think, in a very ill-advised but understandable way. It's a 17-year-old kid out of his mind scared, probably way too hyped up, should never be there in the first place from out of state. He feels like they're going to try to take his gun and kill him. Someone's beating him. Then he fires shots. These shots ring out. You have multiple people shot and now two people dead. When the government doesn't do its job, its basic function, night after night after night, this is what happens. And you know what? I don't know if it was a justified or self-defense shooting when all the context comes in. I'm not here to defend this kid. It probably makes sense that he's in custody. He should have never been there in the first place. I don't know exactly what happened with this police shooting of Jacob Blake and what all the context is. That's the point of investigations and the justice system doing its work. I understand that people get frustrated that the government isn't doing their job or the justice system doesn't work, in their opinion. But it cannot bring us to a place where we're saying the solution is rioting and violence and arson and assault, which eventually is going to lead to deaths, where vigilantes and other armed people decide, well, we're going to step into the breach. How many nights in a row do we want our community burned to the ground, or even someone else's community in this case? We're going to show up with guns. Then everything escalates. And now finally, Governor Evers in Wisconsin, after we have a body count, now it's all of a sudden it's a serious thing. So he's going to send some more National Guard in there tonight. Apparently there's going to be a pretty strict curfew that they say they're going to really aggressively enforce. And this is day four. So congratulations to everyone up there. I don't know, you call yourselves leaders, but my God. And there's an issue nationally here as well, and I'm going to get to that. Just crickets. Crickets from Joe Biden and the Democrats. They avoided it like the plague last week. They didn't want to talk about it. Uh-oh, but now it's in sort of suburban Wisconsin. Their election might be in danger. Well, maybe we should pay attention to this. We'll get to that right after this. It's the Guy Benson Show.
Energetic, informed, fast-paced. Guy Benson Show.
Eight conservative judges confirmed today.
That's awesome. I never get sick of winning.
I'm with you, though I am worried about this favored nation idea.
The one where our country installs socialist price controls?
Directly from countries with socialized medicine. Their policies will mean fewer new cures, less access to treatments, and lost jobs for Americans.
Gotta believe our guy will back us out of that. He puts America first.
Paid for by Americans for Tax Reform. Visit nopricecontrols.org.
These days, being prepared for the unknown is more important than ever. I'm sure you've noticed the world we live in today is anything but predictable. We could all benefit from something reliable right about now. Well, what could be more reliable than real gold and silver? I'm asking you that. I'm talking about real gold and silver that you can hold in your hands if you choose. Call the Oxford Gold Group and do it right now. Learn how easy it is to get real gold and silver sent securely to your hands, to your home, or have real gold and silver placed directly into your IRA, or maybe have a 401k or both. Call the Oxford Gold Group right now at 833-600-GOLD. They're waiting for you. Ask for your free guide on owning gold and silver. Don't feel like you got to know all about it. That's what the guide is for, and that's why it's free. So call the Oxford Gold Group right now at 833-600-GOLD. That's the Oxford Gold Group. I've been telling you about this. It's the only gold company that I trust. So call them right now. You have a pen? Call them right now at 833-600-GOLD, 833-600-GOLD. That's 833-600-G-O-L-D.
Hiring is challenging. Just ask Dylan Miskowitz, the COO of Cafe Altura.
We needed a director of coffee in order to move our products forward. It felt like we were looking for a needle in a haystack.
Dylan started using ZipRecruiter and found his perfect candidate in a few days.
We were very impressed with how quickly we had quality candidates apply through ZipRecruiter.
See why 4 out of 5 employers who post a job on ZipRecruiter get a quality candidate within the first day. Try ZipRecruiter for free at ZipRecruiter.com/search. That's ZipRecruiter.com/search.
From the Fox News Podcasts Network. Download and listen to Cyrus and Tim.
I really believe Kamala Harris was the best choice for our show. I was kind of hoping for Kat that somebody else got in.
I'm like, I can't do that impersonation.
No, you know what? You probably could, but we're now back in 1950 to where if you did that, you're a racist person and you need to be fired because you can't be an actor and portray a character unless they are white.
Subscribe and listen now by going to FoxNewsPodcasts.com.
Now, from the historical audio archives of Fox News Talk.
The 39th President of the United States, Jimmy Carter, addresses the Camp David Accords between Israel and Egypt that, on March 26, 1979, led to a negotiated peace between the two nations, the first between Israel and any of its Arab neighbors.
The countrysides of both lands are free from the litter and the carnage of a wasteful war. Mothers in Egypt and Israel are not weeping today for their children fallen in senseless battle. The dedication and determination of these two world statesmen have borne fruit. Peace has come to Israel and to Egypt.
Stay tuned to hear more history as it unfolds before your ears. It's the audio archives of Fox News Talk.
The Dean's List with Janice Dean.
A store owner in Boston that gives free piano lessons makes today's Dean's List. 23-year-old John Capron had been browsing Remarkable Cleanout's antique store in Norwood, Massachusetts with his girlfriend when he found a $200 Whitney piano for sale. After asking a sales associate for permission to play, the self-taught piano player sat down to play a heartfelt rendition of Don't Stop Believin' by Journey. And the sales associate filmed a video of the impromptu sing-along. The video went viral. After John identified himself, store owner Mark Waters offered to give him the piano for free. But then he changed his mind. Instead, Mark decided to surprise John with a $3,000 Steinway piano that had been sitting in the back of the store. When Mark unveiled the gift to John, the student burst into tears. He says he wishes he could do it every day. Janice Dean, Fox News.
The RNC is on Fox News Radio as the party comes together to support President Trump.
We're going to see something that is going to be very uplifting and positive.
Our experts break down every critical moment. Join Fox News Radio's national correspondent Jared Halpern and political analyst Josh Krausar starting at 8 p.m. Eastern. Live on the Fox News app. Just click listen at the bottom of the screen. Don't miss our special coverage of Democracy 2020. It's in your hands tonight. Download the Fox News app and click listen.
The rioting has to stop. Chris, as you know and I know, it's showing up in the polling. Mm-hmm. It's showing up in focus groups.
Back on the Guy Benson Show, that was Don Lemon of CNN. Last night, the rioting has to stop. Why? It's showing up in the polling. And the focus group is starting to stick as an issue. Uh-oh, the Democrats might be blowing this election because people don't like seeing violent riots on their television night after night after night all over the country. You wonder if it wasn't showing up in the polling and the focus groups, would it just be like, fine, let's just turn a blind eye, blame it on Trump, and just say, you know, Biden will get elected, it'll all be fine. And it feels very cynical, and it is cynical. I tweeted last night, I said it feels like the people in these communities who are terrified, they better pray that Donald Trump gets a polling bump because of this, because that might actually force the local and state Democrats to do something and take it seriously, because it's an electoral threat. Yes, that's harsh and cynical, but I'm in that mood today. Hopefully you don't blame me too much. The Biden campaign put out a very weak statement last night. They said nothing for 4 days. That's the other thing. They pretended like every protest that's ever happened has just been peaceful and terrific and just uplifting. It's all about progress. And we all know that is not true when it comes to the dark side, the ugly side of this, that they did not even hint at for 4 days last week. And now they're like, uh-oh, it's happening in a swing state in a smaller city. This might not go well. So there are people, some of the never-Trump Republican types, are begging Joe Biden to come out and confront this head-on. They just put out a video from Joe Biden, finally saying the things that the Democrats should be out there saying front and center. Everyone should be, every single day. Getting way back to other cities and other riots, Joe Biden finally wakes up and decides to say something. And the motives, I think, are at least somewhat in question. More on this when we come back. Guy Benson Show.
RNC is on Fox News Radio as the party comes together to support President Trump.
We're going to see something that is going to be very uplifting and positive.
Our experts break down every critical moment. Join Fox News Radio's national correspondent Jared Halpern and political analyst Josh Krausar starting at 8 p.m. Eastern, live on the Fox News app. Just click listen at the bottom of the screen. Don't miss our special coverage of Democracy 2020. It's in your hands. Tonight, download the Fox News app and click listen.
I'm Ashley DeBorgen with a Fox Celebrity Profile with Sabrina Carpenter and Liza Koshy, who play Quinn and Jazz in the new Netflix dance competition movie, Work It. They spoke about how the performance-filled flick put their dance skills to the test.
Because it was like different genres of dance almost. So it's like, I call it like the Bohemian Rhapsody of dance. Like you have a little taste of everything. There's Bollywood in there, some kicks in there, there's some splits in there.
One of the most challenging things for me was definitely dancing consistently pretty badly throughout the film and making it look believable.
Sabrina is an executive producer on the film and wrote an original song for it. She and Liza shared what they feel are big takeaways at the heart of the story.
It kind of is very mirroring of the current time that we're going through of like this girl having, it seems, her entire life figured out and then watching the world do what it does best, which is throw curveballs like left and right and seeing how you tackle them and how you handle them.
Right. Being afraid of change and unafraid if your plans don't go according to plan because it might end up being something better after all.
Ashley Dvorkin, Fox News.
We're a nation founded on principles, on freedom.
With leaders who've changed the course of human civilization.
When we take part in democracy,
we control our destiny.
We exercise our rights and hold our leaders accountable.
And we always speak our mind.
We may be separated by issues,
but we're united by a common truth.
America's ultimate power lies in her people.
Democracy 2020. It's in your hands. Fox News. America is watching.
Bonus track with Laura Ingle.
Taking you deep inside the music. Def Leppard fans know that guitarist Phil Collin is one of the most ripped rock stars around, often performing shirtless, showing off his six-pack abs. There's been a lot of workout videos released during coronavirus. Now rock fans can follow along with Collin's killer routine as Def Leppard has launched a new video series called 30-Day Fitness Challenge with Phil Collin.
What I'm doing today is the last kind of full-body workout.
Rockers can use the hashtag PhilCollin30 to find his videos and follow along with how he works on his exercises, diet, and overall health.
Salad, throw that in there. I don't use dressing.
The 62-year-old didn't start out as a fitness guru. After years of playing hard, partying hard, and leading a self-described very unhealthy lifestyle, he decided to make a change. He said in his early 30s, he quit drinking and partying and hit the gym. And it shows. Laura Ingle, Fox News.
Now, from the historical audio archives of Fox News Talk.
In January of 1960, John F. Kennedy announced that he would seek the presidency of the United States, which he won on November 8, 1960, in a narrow victory over Richard Nixon. At 43, he became the youngest U.S. president.
In the past 40 months, I have toured every state in the Union, and I have talked to Democrats in all walks of life. My candidacy is therefore based on the conviction that I can win both the nomination and the election. I believe that the Democratic Party has a historic function to perform in the winning of the 1960 election, comparable to the 1932 election. I intend to do my utmost to see that that victory is won.
Stay tuned to hear more history as it unfolds before your ears. It's the audio archives of Fox News Talk.
This is Fox on Justice. The late Congressman John Lewis often spoke about good troubles, civil disobedience in the fight for justice. Rosa Parks refusing to give up her seat on a segregated bus was a prime example. And so was Susan B. Anthony, who broke the law by voting in 1872 in Rochester, New York, nearly a half century before women won the right to vote. Anthony was arrested, put on trial, found guilty, and fined. She spoke out in court even though the judge tried to silence her. She said the verdict tramples underfoot every vital principle of our government. She refused to pay the fine, and although she did no jail time, her conviction stood until President Trump issued
a full and complete pardon for Susan B. Anthony. She was never pardoned.
While many applauded the move, Democrats saw it as an election year stunt. Some claimed Susan B. Anthony was making a political statement by voting and wouldn't have wanted his pardon. With Fox on Justice, Hank Weinblum, Fox News.
LoreBensonShow.com.
We're back. Thank you for listening. Even though it's maybe tough to listen today. It's tough to do this. This is not a fun show for me at all. I want to talk more about Wisconsin. I might get to Joe Biden's statement that they finally put out, him on camera. I had someone, a journalist on Twitter, saying, oh, they had a statement last night. Yeah, a statement written by someone else attributed to a spokesperson on paper is deeply insufficient. And they finally get the candidate out there after, what, just weeks of silence on this stuff. Riots popping up all over the place, looting, attacks. And they make a decision, a choice, not to even acknowledge it at their convention for 4 nights. And we're supposed to be, oh, how grateful we are for a written statement saying that maybe people shouldn't burn things to the ground and assault business owners because you're angry about something where we don't even know the details. Yeah, spare me. And we hear this all the time. It's just property. Oh, look at these people. They care more about empty police cars burning, or smoldering buildings. Well, we've seen a few people accidentally killed in burned-down buildings, right? So there's that. They have insurance. We hear that one. Well, not everyone has insurance that will cover everything that they lose. Not everyone has the cash flow, especially in COVID time. If you're a small business and you've been hurting badly now for months because of this disease, this virus, now all of a sudden you have a bunch of people come through, agitators, and burn your building to the ground, and they're supposed to just say, oh, well, I'll get my insurance money, hopefully a decent amount eventually. In the meantime, well, we'll just make do. What about their families? What about their employees? Now, of course, it's important to note there are people who get hurt, physically hurt, like the business owner that I mentioned, bloodied and beaten in the street, trying to put out a fire at his business in Kenosha 2 nights ago. Then you get a backlash when there's a power vacuum and the authorities aren't in authority. You get a backlash, especially people get to the end of a rope after 2 or 3 nights. And I think if you're transporting guns across state lines to come be some posse, that's idiotic and dangerous. And then we get predictable outcomes. And by the way, this is on the officials. This is on the politicians who decided they were going to do basically nothing. Rejecting help from the feds, giving a handful, a fraction of the requested National Guard for night three. Then these other people come in, this posse, including now apparently a 17-year-old kid who drove up from out of state with a big gun, thought he was helping. And now he's ended the lives of 2 people. And then the officials, all of a sudden, then they get serious. Oh, we got a swing state problem here. We've got people dying. Let's say something. This might help Trump. I might second guess myself on that motive if we didn't have people saying it out loud. CNN primetime last night. Oh, this is starting to show up in the polls. That's a problem. They said it. That's the quiet part. You're supposed to say, this destruction is terrible. People are going to get hurt. No, it's, we might lose this election. By we, I mean CNN and the Democratic Party. They're on the same team. 2 people dead, at least 1 other wounded, all sorts of people in harm's way, including law enforcement, people's lives absolutely destroyed, people in the hospital are recuperating from wounds, and you actually have people who say it's just buildings. This is what we need to do for justice. Get your insurance check. Deal with it. Unbelievably callous. Let's listen to a business owner, Scott Carpenter. This was yesterday. This was day 2. After night 2 of the chaos, of 3, who knows what's going to happen tonight. Finally, they're taking it more seriously, curfew, etc. More law enforcement, National Guard, etc. But yesterday, here's Scott Carpenter coming to his business and surveying the wreckage. Cut 2.
This morning, get up, come down here, and what I see, I was not prepared for.
I knew it was going to be a disaster, but I didn't know what a disaster looked like till I saw it.
And you, I can hear the emotion in what you're saying. I mean, what is the family feeling right now?
It's tough. This is a business that my parents started 40 years ago, small, out of their garage. It was a small business. Did it just to make a few extra dollars, and eventually it grew. 31 years ago, they bought this building, and so we've been here ever since. They're very upset about it. It's emotionally hurtful. We didn't do anything to anybody. Why did we deserve it?
Sorry, Scott Carpenter's parents, who built this business 40 years ago. There are people who want to destroy things, and no one's going to stop them, so shut up. You've got insurance, right? Yeah, he addresses that. Same guy, cut three.
Unfortunately, it's still going to take some time. Insurance pays out, but you still end up taking a loss somewhere along the line. And it's not like our business was a $1 million business. We operated locally. We help big companies, and we do a lot of business, but we weren't getting rich, being here. So it's not like our checking account has $1 million plus in it.
Here's Daniel Esposito, another business owner, talking about, quote, total carnage, cut four.
We own this building, that building, that building, and this building, which are all destroyed. And when we came on scene, it was just carnage. So basically, if I had to sum it up in a word, it would be just total carnage. I just don't understand why this something like this would happen.
This was yesterday, by the way, the same day that the governor of Wisconsin said, I'm going to give you a fraction of what you've asked for from the National Guard, local law enforcement, and I'm going to give a big stiff arm to the Trump administration from their help. Then it got worse last night, and two people were killed. So really bang-up job there from the Wisconsin government. Here's a female business owner in cut five.
There's just no words. There's just absolutely no words. I watched everything happen last night. I had to call 911 three times. It took them over 2 hours to get down here. Not only did they destroy our business here, but they looted it, they stole things, they trashed the inside of it. I watched them pull signs out of the ground and smash these car lots right here, light that one on fire. I got hit with gasoline when they hit the credit union over there, lighting that one on fire. With the probation office on fire, leveled that. It's horrible. And I'm out here trying to help people along with other people. And then next you know, we're getting shot out by anti-protesters. They're literally shooting us. And the police, they didn't really do much to help. We had our hands up in the air. We said we're trying to help. And they hit us with smoke bombs, tear gas anyway.
I listen to that, and to me, it's really hard. I've heard it a few times. It's really hard to even listen to. It's hard to watch the video of Jacob Blake getting shot by the police. And we don't know exactly what happened there, but he got shot, what, seven times? It's unclear what the context is. We're getting more elements of that context, and we might not know the whole story, which is the point. But for some people, destruction and looting is the goal, and it doesn't matter what the reason is, which is why I brought up Chicago earlier, their latest round of looting. It was based on a complete lie about the police in Chicago, a shooting that was justified, textbook justified. Suspect shot at the cops. They returned fire, struck him, didn't kill him. Then they started spreading a bunch of lies about it. They said, hey, let's go downtown and loot. But that was a big city in a big blue state. So we heard nothing from the National Democrats. Jerry Nadler said the Antifa problem in Portland and Seattle, months on end, was a myth. Crickets from the Biden campaign, and they finally get Joe up to, hey, you got to say something to the camera here. You guys had a week to even once suggest that there was an ugly side to this, a sordid side to this that needed to stop. And they made a proactive political calculation not to do that. And then the calculation may be turned because it hit a small city, kind of a suburban area in Wisconsin, which the Democrats may remember is a very important state. They forgot about that last time. So forgive me if I look at that and their actions or lack thereof, and I think, you know, gosh, maybe there is something political behind this. It's not a conspiracy theory. It's following the evidence. And look, the Republicans can also overplay their hand here, too. And when things get all whipped up, I don't think people should be knee-jerk defending this kid who's now in custody who shot two people, even if he thought he was doing the right thing showing up, thought he was defending himself. I mean, my God, two lives are lost now. He drives from out of state. Oh, the whole thing is just awful. Julio Rosas is on the ground in Kenosha, Wisconsin. He's been there for nights. My colleague at townhall.com joins us live from Kenosha, Wisconsin, after this.
You're listening to a new generation of talk. Generation of talk. Guy Benson.
Paid for by Lose Debts. Did you know that the average American household owes over $16,000 in credit card debt? These credit card companies try to lure you in with low starting rates or tons of airline points just to jack up the interest rates after a few months. Before you know it, you're in over your head and struggling to make the minimum payments. It's important to know you're not alone, and Lose Debts has helped thousands of good people just like you avoid the expensive and lengthy bankruptcy process. With our debt reset program, your debt can be reduced by more than half, and all future interest will be eliminated, making you debt-free in as little as 24 months. This is not a loan, and unlike other companies, we do not charge upfront fees or out-of-pocket expenses. Best of all, we provide a 100% money-back guarantee. What are you waiting for? Speak to our agents today at 800-340-3365. That's 800-340-3365. Quit losing sleep over your debt payments. Call us for help. 800-340-3365. Again, 800-340-3365.
It's totally normal to be constipated with belly pain, straining, and bloating again and again.
No way.
Maybe it's occasional constipation.
Maybe it's not.
You could have a chronic condition called irritable bowel syndrome with constipation, or IBS-C. Linzess, or linaclotide, is a prescription that treats IBS-C in adults. Linzess works differently than laxatives to help relieve belly pain and let you have more frequent and complete bowel movements. Individual results may vary. Do not give to children less than 6, and it should not be given to children 6 to less than 18. It may harm them. Do not take Linzess if you have a bowel blockage. Get immediate help if you develop unusual or severe stomach pain, especially with bloody or black stools. The most common side effect is diarrhea, sometimes severe. If it's severe, stop taking Linzess and call your doctor right away. Other side effects include gas, stomach area pain, and swelling. Maybe it's not occasional constipation. Learn more at Linzess.com or call 1-800-LINZESS. You may be able to talk to a doctor online. Visit Linzess.com, sponsored by Allergan and Ironwood.
Fox Nation takes you inside the most amazing homes in America.
The details and the quality, it's a masterpiece.
With jaw-dropping features that are priceless.
And the price.
And the price? Who cares?
Join Casey McDonald as she opens doors.
And it all leads to this.
Mansion Global on Fox Nation. Available now. Only on America's streaming service. Get a copy of Sean Hannity's new book when you join today.
This is Poll Parade with Fox News Director of Polling, Dana Blandon.
There was a reversal in our latest survey on what Americans look for from leaders in Washington. Voters were asked to pick one of two messages to send to the federal government right now. Lend me a hand or leave me alone. Compared to last year, the number who would tell Uncle Sam to leave them alone dropped 19 points to 36%. It's the first time since Fox started asking the question in 2011 that the portion saying leave me alone is below 50%. A majority would ask Washington to lend them a hand. That is also a first, 57%, up from 34%. That 23-point jump in wanting government to lend a hand comes from double-digit increases among both Democrats and Republicans. What's clear is Americans of all political stripes are looking for government to step up during these unsettled times. What's unclear is whether this is more than a temporary increase during a turbulent year. I'm Dana Blanton, and that's your Poll Parade.
This is one sick person.
Arresting content, wicked stories. It's crime time, all the time on Fox Nation.
911, what's the location of your emergency?
Taking a closer look at some twisted tales, from the bad to the just plain evil. We're investigating the biggest cases of the century with special insight from some of the best names in the business.
People want justice. They want to help.
Only on Fox Nation. It would be a crime to miss out.
Jacob knew what was going on as far as that goes, the violence and the destruction. He would be very unpleased. To all of the police officers, I'm praying for you and your family.
Back on the Guy Benson Show, that's the voice of Julia Jackson, the mother of Jacob Blake, the young man who was shot by police in Kenosha, Wisconsin. And he is reportedly paralyzed. Family says he's likely to be paralyzed from the waist down. His mother, we took some of her comments live yesterday, where she was talking about the value and dignity of every life and condemning violence and rioting and looting. And she seems like a woman of faith and a class act, saying the violence and destruction would not be pleasing to her son, adding that she's praying for the police officers and for their families. I think some of the agitators involved in the violence, they don't give a rat's rear end about the mother of Jacob Blake or about Jacob Blake. They've got a plan and destruction that brings them some sort of twisted enjoyment, and they're going to move forward no matter what the wishes of the family might be, no matter what the details are, and we still don't have those because we're still in the fog of chaos. And someone who's physically there in that fog is Julio Rosas, my colleague at townhall.com. He's been reporting on the ground. You can follow him on Twitter and read his content at Fox News, well, occasionally on Fox News, but at townhall.com. Julio, I hope you're staying safe. Thanks for joining us.
Hey, guy. Thanks for having me.
All right. So if you could just give us a sense, if you can, of what you've been seeing and what you witnessed last night in particular.
So what happened last night was there was a large crowd, about 250 people, gathered outside the Kenosha County Courthouse. And what was different about it was that there was a fence erected to protect the courthouse, and actually I'm pretty sure it's the same type of fence that was used to protect the federal courthouse in Portland. And so it did not take very long. It was around 8:30 for the crowd to start trying to tear down the fence, as you know that they typically do. And so they were throwing stuff over the fence, and so they actually almost did tear it down, but at that point, the officers inside at the courthouse came out, used pepper balls, tear gas, to push people back. After giving multiple warnings, and this was probably an hour and a half, two hours in, they declared an unlawful assembly, and they pushed everybody out of the park. But they didn't leave. They just stayed out on the street. So they were just pushing them back block by block. And then that's when we saw the interactions with the armed civilians that were there to protect the businesses and private property, because while they are supportive of the protests, the peaceful protests, you know, they draw the line in the sand of, okay, well, but we're not going to let you guys riot and destroy Kenosha over this. And so that's where we saw the confrontations, and then that's when we eventually saw the shooting between the two groups.
Yeah, so shooting back and forth, did both sides have guns, or was it just the armed citizens who were against the rioters? What was that situation?
So we do know that there was one of the rioters that attacked, I believe his name's Kyle, the 17-year-old. He had a handgun. And in fact, a colleague of mine who's a photographer, he took a picture of the rioter who had his right arm shot, and you know there's a big chunk missing. He was actually still holding on to the handgun when he was sitting down. So both sides were armed, although I would say that the civilians that had set out to protect the businesses were more heavily armed, as they were mostly armed with rifles, handguns, whereas the rioters, if they were armed with firearms, it was mostly concealed handguns.
Julio, based on what you saw, it sounds like the arrest has been made of this 17-year-old, and we don't have all the information. I've only seen a video put out by the Daily Caller. It sounds like he's been arrested on suspicion of intentional first-degree murder. I think there are a lot of ways to be critical of all sorts of things that happened last night, including of some of these, whatever you want to call them. Some people call them militia, vigilantes, armed citizens. Based on what you know and saw, did it seem like there was a premeditation for murder?
I would not necessarily agree with that. I mean, you have to keep in mind that the whole reason why that they came out in the first place is because for the past 2 days, the rioters have had their way with downtown Kenosha. And I saw firsthand some of these armed civilians stopping the destruction in the city, and I actually wrote that up for town hall because it was quite a sight to behold because they were trying to destroy all these cars in a parking lot, and the guy came up, he told them to get off the cars, and they scattered, and you know, and he had to do that without firing a shot. So you know, we've seen this throughout in any mass unrest or riots where people have had to kind of take the security into their own hands because you know, the National Guard and the police have been mainly focused on protecting the county courthouse.
I saw you were quoted in an Associated Press story as a witness about this shooting. In 30 seconds, you're saying it looked like the guy was on the – he had fallen, was on the ground, and then people were coming after him. 30 seconds, Julio.
Yes. So he was running away. The crowd was chasing after him. He tripped and fell. The rioters tried to take his gun away. They had a struggle over it, and so the gun was being fired while the muzzle was being pointed in all sorts of directions. But then he eventually was able to, after shooting those two guys off of him, he was able to get up and walk away from that.
I mean, it's – and Julio, stay safe in Kenosha. Our colleague Julio Rosas of townhall.com, thank you for joining us. Be careful. It's very scary. And once we get more information, once we know more, there'll be more to say, but you can say for sure it should have never come to this on night three of this chaos in Wisconsin. Another hour of the Guy Benson Show. Kevin McCarthy, House Republican leader, joins me next.
Hiring can be challenging, but ZipRecruiter makes it fast and easy. We talked to COO Dylan Miskowitz, who needed to hire a director of coffee for his company, Cafe Altura.
We would look through lots of applications for people who were not qualified. It definitely felt like we were looking for a needle in a haystack.
So Dylan started using ZipRecruiter and found his perfect candidate in a few days. ZipRecruiter's powerful technology identifies people with the right experience and actively invites them to apply, which is why you should try ZipRecruiter for free.
We're very impressed with how quickly we had quality candidates apply through ZipRecruiter. ZipRecruiter is a powerful tool in our hiring process.
See why 4 out of 5 employers who post a job on ZipRecruiter get a quality candidate within the first day. ZipRecruiter, the smartest way to hire. And now you can try ZipRecruiter for free. That's right, free. At ZipRecruiter.com/search. That's ZipRecruiter.com/search. ZipRecruiter.com/search.
Now, from the historical audio archives of Fox News Talk.
One of the forgotten players in the Watergate scandal that brought down the Nixon administration was Democrat Speaker of the House Carl Albert of Oklahoma. Standing only 5'4", he was known as the Little Giant from Little Dixie. In 1992, Albert recalled meeting future presidents Nixon and Kennedy on his first day of Congress.
Nixon walked across from the Republican side of the aisle and shook hands with me and asked me if he had a college contest similar to the high school, and I won that one. And he asked me if I was the one that won that contest. I said, yes. He said, well, he tried out for it later on, but he didn't get that far. John Kennedy came over to me and introduced himself, and he said, are you the Oklahoma boy that was a Rhodes Scholar? I said, yes. He said, well, I met several Rhodes Scholars So I met them both the first day.
Stay tuned to hear more history as it unfolds before your ears. It's the audio archives of Fox News Talk.
The news from Town Hall is brought to you on KCNR Shasta Reading by Shasta Regional Medical Center. Your life, your health, your choice. Shasta Regional Medical Center.